driving in Swaziland. I had the children with me, and I think I mentioned this to you all when I had come back. And you see it here also in South Africa, but there you see a lot because you're driving through those homelands and you have all these rondavel huts, you know, mud huts. And I was telling the children, I said that we look at these mud huts now and we think, yeah, how these people are living. But this is what Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived in. This was his house. This is what Sahaba radiallahu anhum lived in. These huts that we see, this mud, the shacks that we see, etc. This is how Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived. This is how Sahaba radiallahu anhum lived. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house was made with mud, mud bricks. The roof was so low that if you stood up straight, you were touching the ceiling. And there was no ceiling with downlighters and designs and all that type of thing. It was normal sack, sometime palm leaves thrown over, that made the ceiling. The floor was the earth. The floor was the earth. This was the house of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it wasn't that there were no solid structures at that time. Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, he was living in a double story house. So if Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted something like that, all he needed to do was to tell the Ansar, no, build me one nice house. I need one nice house. With pleasure they would have built it. But by choice, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam preferred this way of living. And then the size of that house also was such that you have heard so many times that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would be reading his tahajjud salah, and when he needed to make sajda, then he would tap Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, so she would fold her mubarak legs, so Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has got place to make sajda. That was the size of that house. The house was one room. That same room served the purpose of the bedroom, the kitchen, the living quarters, everything. Just one room. The Quraysh in Makkah Sharif, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving da'wat towards Tawheed, the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, so they tried different tactics to try and stop the progress of Islam. One of the things they did was they approached Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they told Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, look, tell us what you want. So every person who is doing something, they're doing it because there's a motive. They got something that they want. That's why they're doing it. Now, they couldn't understand that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing this only and solely for Allah Ta'ala. He got no other motive. So they asking Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, what do you want? Why are you doing this? Do you want kingship? You want to be a king, you want to come up with a new religion so everybody respects you and then you become the king. Is that what you want? So no problem. Just tell us. We'll make you the king. You don't have to come up with this whole new religion and everything. We'll make you our king. You want wealth? You're coming up with some new religion so that people now all flock to you and then you can have their wealth at your disposal. Like you get some peer sabs. Bogus peer sabs, they get it, couple murids, and now they know now, they are sorted out. So is it wealth that you after, wealth that you're looking for? If it is wealth that you want, all you need to do is tell us. We'll make you the wealthiest person in Arabia. All our wealth will be at your disposal. Or maybe you're looking for beautiful wives. You're looking for very beautiful wives. You want everybody to come under you, so then after that you can choose now the most beautiful of women. So no problem. We will collect the most beautiful woman here in Arabia, and you can choose which ones you wish to take as your wives. What answer did Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam give them? He said, you can bring the sun. Forget these things what you are talking about, which is possible. These things what you are speaking about, these are possible things. Forget these things. You can bring the impossible. Bring the sun and put it in my right hand. Bring the moon, put it in my left hand. Then too, I will not stop this call. So no inclination whatsoever towards dunya. How many haven't we seen that a person starts off with noble intentions, and after a while let a little bit of wealth come away in the front and see how his intentions change. How many organizations started off doing Hajj for the people? So we won't make a profit, we'll do Hajj for the people. And some of them have become the most expensive agents today. But when they started off that no, we're just doing it as a service to the Hujjaj. How many people started doing Qurbani animals as a service to the Muslims? But after they see how much money can be made, then the niyat changes. How many times? Allah Pak make our hifazat. You get an imam sometime in a masjid. He starts off, he is very, very sincere. But after that, the only thing he sees when he sees every musalli is he sees a dollar sign. This I can get from that one, that I can get from this one, that I can get from that one. Allah Pak must make our hifazat. Allah Pak must save us, protect us. Shaitan is everywhere. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, nothing of this. Lillah, only for Allah. And the dunya, zuhud, total abstinence from the dunya. This was the promises of the Quraysh. Forget the promises of the Quraysh now. We say, okay, this the Quraysh made a promise. Obviously, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not leave inviting towards Allah Ta'ala. In Madinah Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an offer to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I will turn this entire Uhud mountain range. It's a huge mountain range. Those that have been, you have seen Mount Uhud, the whole mountain range, how huge it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would turn the whole mountain range of Uhud into gold and silver. And not only that, this gold and silver, it would follow Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wherever he goes. But Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't choose that. He says, no, that I don't want. I rather live where I eat one day and I'm hungry the next day. This mountain range of Uhud, gold and silver, if it was one of us, we would have said, okay, never mind. I mean, let it come. At least we can do so much of social work, and we can help so many poor people, and we can do so many things with the wealth. So maybe that the tip of the mountain that we would have used for all that, but our conscience, just to please our conscience, we would have made that excuse that no, let's take the gold and the silver. There's so much of poverty here. At least we can eradicate all the poverty. Look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Total abstinence. Even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the offer, then too, total abstinence. In the home of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once Ma'isha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she hangs some curtain as like a decoration to give some color. You know our women folk, how they like now. Sometime every nook and cranny there has to be one vase, there has to be one flower, there has to be one something and something in the house. Sometime there's no place for anything else now. Everywhere there's something and something. Then they need one colorful mat here, and they need one something there. And some men also, they are into all those things. not only the ladies, sometimes the men too, they like all this thing. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she hung something. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately orders for it to be taken down. Where you see something like this in the house of the Nabi. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, one day she hangs something. We know what muhabbat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for her. He just comes to the door, and when he notices it, he turns away. He goes away. Then she realizes what the thing is. Immediately she takes it down. She goes and apologizes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, not appropriate for me to enter the home. Now his own daughter's home. Not appropriate for me to enter the home when you have got that type of thing at the house. Now if we have to ask ourselves, our houses, think Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come in our houses. So we are not commanded by Shariat to live that type of life. That life Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose for himself. For us, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the Shariat. He left the Shariat. So if there was no such a thing that you cannot say have any savings, you cannot have, so why must there be so many ayat in the Quran Sharif with regards to inheritance, so many ayat with regards to zakat, if there wasn't permissible to keep any wealth, etc. So it shows that the Shariat has given some permission, permissibility for a person to have a few luxuries, etc. And as our mashayikh, they say today, my Shaykh Azmi Patel Sahib Nawal Barakatuh, he always says that enjoy yourself. In the permissible things, enjoy yourself. Just abstain from the guna. Put all your effort into abstaining from haram, from guna. Besides that, enjoy yourself. And especially in today's zamana, if our wives, our children, they are abstaining from guna, and we are stopping them from doing so many things, we're stopping them from visiting so many places where the rest of the community is going, we are trying to live an Islamic life, and we are stopping them. Now we're not allowing them to dress up with all those funny kind fashion clothing, making them wear Islamic libas. Now we're not allowing them to just go with friends here and there, and we, you know, making them live a life, an Islamic life. Then when it comes to the permissible things, we must indulge them. We must indulge them with the permissible things. So then their life doesn't become like so, like they feel like, hey, life is so hard to live. So we must indulge them in the permissible things. But this was the zuhud of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But every one of us, we must try and have some level of zuhud. Some level of zuhud. But this must be done with the guidance of a Shaykh Kamil. Because if we're going to try and do this thing on our own, we either after 1-2 months we may just give everything up totally, or we may go on to such an extreme that then the wife will be fighting for divorce and the children will be wanting to run away from the house. So it must be done with the guidance of a Shaykh Kamil. But one thing that, you know, we as mu'mineen, we must abstain from, is that don't indulge in haram to earn and to possess the worldly luxuries. That much zuhud we must have. What is happening in today's zamana is, a person wants that thing, by hook or by crook, if it means him stealing and getting it, if it means him borrowing on interest and getting it, if it means him taking a loan on interest from the banks and getting it, whatever the situation, I must have it. Whereas he doesn't have the cash to go and buy it. So then at least that much zuhud that he must have, that if I haven't got the money to buy it, leave it out. If I can't get a halal loan to purchase it, permissible interest-free loan to purchase it, then leave it out, I'll do without it. That much zuhud each one must have. To indulge in haram in order to enjoy worldly pleasures and luxuries, etc., that is totally impermissible, totally haram. If there is some beautiful motor car and the person has got the money, he can afford to go and buy it. So he goes and he buys that car and he is enjoying the luxury of that car. He has paid for it, he's bought it and he's enjoying the luxury of that car, then alhamdulillah. But if a person can't afford to buy the car and now he's going to take a loan from the bank to buy the car and it's not a necessity, it's not a zarurat, then that won't be permissible. That is not right. Out of zarurat, man got no wheels whatsoever, he needs to buy one car and then he goes and buys a base model and he tries and pays it off quick as possible and he took a loan or he bought it on HP or something, then that is a different masla. We get a fatwa from the muftis at that time. But just to have luxury, now we want to buy the top range, top of the range, and but we haven't got the money to buy it and we're taking a loan from the bank, and that is wrong, that is totally incorrect. At least that much of zuhud we need to make amal upon, that we don't indulge in haram to earn the different pleasures of this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, and we take an example from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, that despite him having the entire Baytul Mal at his disposal, yet he lived a life of abstinence, he lived a life of zuhud. So Allah Pa give us the tawfiq that at least some level of zuhud we bring into our lives. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa